You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
My name is Dave. I'm the associate pastor here at the church, and I am so glad that you decided to join us today. Well, back in 1998, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Ukraine, and for a lot of you, you probably don't know this about me, but when I'm talking around the house, my voice can be rather loud. My wife will tend to tell me to keep it down, to shush me sometimes, and my inside voice is really much, very much the same as my outside voice. There's really no difference, and when I was in Ukraine, there was this time when I was walking on the street with some others from the team that were on the mission trip, and I was talking like I normally do. In America, your inside voice can be like your outside voice. It doesn't really matter that much. But in Ukraine, there's a difference between your inside voice and your outside voice. Your outside voice is softer, and the words that you're speaking really need to be imperceptible by those that are passing by. And so this one afternoon, I was walking on the street, I was talking like I normally do, and later on, the leader of the team took me aside and he said, "Dave, you probably don't know this, but here in Ukraine, people talk more softly when they're out on the street, and I think, you know, it would be better, it would be better for you if you just talk a little softer when you're out." In other words, Dave, you were being a jerk. Dave, you were being an ugly American. And the other day I was at Stop and Shop, and like where many of you probably shop, and I heard this music. It was coming from down the aisle. And you know, normally people, when they go shopping, they put in their earbuds or they put on headphones, right? Well, I looked down the aisle, and the guy is playing his music relatively loudly from a Bluetooth speaker that's hanging from his shorts. And it just reminded me about how loud I was back at that time in Ukraine. But haven't we all been there? Haven't we at some time or another been the jerk? We might have said the wrong thing. We might have not said anything at all. It might have been more about winning than how we played the game, right? Maybe we turned up the music louder than we normally do to annoy that crabby neighbor. Maybe for you teens, you break curfew or ignore what your parents have said in terms of what you need to do around the house just for the sake of ignoring them. Maybe for you kids, you do the very thing that your sister or brother hate. For you that are husbands and wives, you've been telling your spouse that you'd be home earlier, but this is the 10th or 11th time that you still don't come home as early as you said you would. This can happen, this type of thing can happen when it comes to politics too, can it? We can be a jerk when it comes to our political views, when it comes to our political positions. We can be a jerk to people that vote differently than maybe how we vote. And maybe in this area, we've alienated people by what we post on social media. Maybe we've estranged family members and they've decided not to come to our house this year for the holidays. Maybe our friendships have been damaged and that's why we don't have our friend call us anymore or come to our life group anymore. Maybe the neighbor has no interest in talking to us about God because they remember the last conversation they had with us about politics and they felt really burned. There's so much incivility. There's so much meanness. There's so much name-calling, isn't there, today when it comes to politics? And instead of as Christians following Christ, we tend to follow the example of the world and do the very same thing. But is this how a kingdom citizen is supposed to act? Is this how we're supposed to act to the watching world, to be jerks, to be Christians behaving badly? Is this how we represent the King? Now, today we're going to answer the question, how do you follow Jesus and not be a jerk when you don't agree with somebody else's political position? If you're not a Christian today, or you're coming back to the church after being away for a while, maybe you're not a Christian, or maybe you've been away from the church for a while because there's been Christians in your life that have been jerks. Well, it's my hope today that you will move a little bit closer to Jesus and his church, maybe by hearing something a little bit different than what you've heard in the past. Now, the interesting thing is that when you look at our culture, in many ways, it was very similar to the culture in Jesus' day. If you read the Gospels, everybody in Jesus' day wanted Jesus to be on their side. Jesus was always getting questions to try to trick or trap him so that they could say that Jesus was on their side or on the side of the people that they hated. Everybody wanted Jesus to choose their side, and that's also true today, isn't it? Both parties today are convinced that Jesus is on their side. Both parties quote the Bible. Both parties quote Jesus. Each party says that he is on their side. Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, notes that both the North and the South read the same Bible, pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. Jesus, listen to me this morning, Jesus didn't come into the world to take sides. He came into the world to call people to his side. Jesus didn't come into the world to take sides. He came into the world to call people to his side. He introduced the kingdom of God, a kingdom that's counterculture, where wealth and power and influence are used for the good, where the king comes not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for his citizens. And it also is a kingdom that includes people from all nations, tribes, and tongues. So the kingdom of God will always be in conflict. It will always be in conflict in certain ways with the kingdoms of this world. It was in Jesus' day, and it will be in our day. The kingdom of God will always be in conflict with the in certain ways with your political perspective, with your political position, with your particular candidate. There's always this tension, and this is why it's absolutely foolish for believers to be a jerk toward another person or cause division in the church over a political party or candidate. We're supposed to be kingdom citizens first and political people second. So as a starting point, I want to look together with you at what the Apostle Paul says in two of his letters. A lot of you might not be familiar with this phrase that we're going to look at because he only shares it just a couple of times in the New Testament. And the phrase is this: it's the law of Christ. Now, a German tourist, Andrei Sisselski, was traveling to Egypt, and he wanted to get some really great photos to share on social media. So he climbed to the top of one of the pyramids outside of Cairo, and boy, did he have some great selfies to post on Instagram. He also got the opportunity to speak to the Egyptian police, who actually banned him from the country for the rest of his life because of what he did. The law in Egypt is that you cannot climb on the pyramids. You cannot climb on the pyramids. And whether it's Egypt or whether it's another nation, every country, every nation has laws that we are to be upholding. And it's no different with God's kingdom. There are laws that God is calling us to uphold, and this is what he calls the law of Christ. We want to make sure this morning that we understand what this law is, right, as kingdom citizens. We want to understand the law that's supposed to govern our heart and our minds. Now, the law of Christ was shorthand for a commandment that you probably are very familiar with. When Jesus came, he said, "I give a new commandment," and all the other commandments, it supersedes all of the other commandments that have been given before. It's the commandment which says, "Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you." And then it says, "By this type of love, people will know, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And so there's three things that we want to talk about with this commandment. There's three things about the law of Christ. First, you are to love one another, okay? That's your priority. In other words, people are more important than politics. Loving your brother and sister is more important than getting them to agree with your particular political position. Second, our focus needs to be on Jesus, needs to be on the king who gave the law, right? So not only are we saying to love one another, he's pointing people to Jesus. We're not just supposed to be loving people however we think we should be loving them. We should take our cue from Jesus. We should look at Jesus' example. We should look at how he has loved us and then act accordingly toward our brother and sister in Christ. So the third thing is that everyone will know that you're my disciple if you love one another. You can't have a church where Christians are behaving badly and think that somebody is going to want to have a relationship with Jesus. That somebody is actually going to want to respond to your invite to church. If we are being jerks to one another, how are we going to be helping our witness? How is it going to honor the King? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, and I'll read that with you today. It's his letter to the churches in Corinth. He writes in these verses 19 to 23 of chapter 9, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law." And there it is, Christ's law. "So as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings." So he says in verse 19, "Though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave." Paul says, look, I will do anything short of sin to save the people that I'm trying to reach. And he continues, to those not having the law, he's talking here about the law of Moses. For those not having the law, those people would be the Gentiles. I became like one of those not having the law. He became a Gentile in order to reach the Gentiles, but he was Jewish. And this is how far he's willing to go to get so that others would be saved. And then he qualifies this. He says that though I am not free from the law of God, now, to the Jewish reader, there's a lot of questions around that. What does that mean? You're not under the law, but yet you're not free from the law of God. And what he's trying to say here is that he's free from the law of Moses, but he's still under God's authority. And that's the law, and that's the law of Christ. He's not out from underneath God's law. He's under God's authority. And so, what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is that you love one another as Jesus has loved you. And in his letter, Paul in his letter to Galatia is a little bit more descriptive here with what the law of Christ really is. In Galatians 6:2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." He says, carry each other's burdens. When you show concern for others who are facing burdens, and you act accordingly, you are actually living out the law of Christ. You're loving the other person as Christ has loved you. So when you see somebody who's burdened financially, when you see somebody that is burdened with kids, when you see somebody that is burdened with sickness, we, through as the body of Christ, show concern. We show love. We love others, and we fulfill the law of Christ. You are to love as I have loved you. You're doing what Jesus told his disciples to do. So not only do we need to understand what the law of Christ is, we also need to allow the law of Christ to guide our conscience. We need to allow the law of Christ to guide our conscience. So here's the thing. As kingdom citizens, regardless of your political persuasion, the law of Christ is your marching orders. Okay? It's your marching orders. The law of Christ should guide you over time as you grow in your faith. The law of Christ should be your true north on your compass. It should be the thing that guides you, how you think, how you act. And so when somebody is doing something contrary to the law of Christ, it should bother you. It should prick your conscience. There should be a warning light or an alarm that goes off that says, this is contrary to the law of Christ. But it shouldn't just bother your conscience, your own conscience, your personal conscience. It should bother our conscience collectively. It should bother our conscience as a group. It should bother our conscience as a community. It should bother our conscience as a squad. Okay? We should be bothered by some of the same things. You know, my car has these sensors on it. And every time another car goes into my blind spot, the sensors go off that tells me that there's a car in my blind spot. And it's helping me to not hit the other car, right, that's coming up next to me. It's helping keeping me safe. It's helping keep the other driver safe. It's helping me stay within the law of the road. And that's what God is doing. That's what God wants to have happen with his law, with the law of Christ. He wants our consciences to be so sensitive that when there's things that happen that are contrary to that law, it should bother us. It should prick our conscience. And so if we see injustice, it should bother us. If we disrespect somebody, it should bother us. If we don't give somebody what they deserve, it should bother us. When we see people making decisions that will endanger their future, it should bother us. When they put their health at risk, it should bother us. When their decisions negatively affect their relationship with their family, with their kids, it should bother us. When their decisions could potentially ruin the integrity of their family or ruin the integrity of society, it should bother us. We should be bothered and we should be moved to action. Anytime you see a Christian violating the law of Christ, we should be bothered. It should bother us personally. It should bother us as a community. And when we see it happening outside the church, we should be bothered as well. Now, let me give you a quick example. It's a simple example, but I think it's a powerful example that demonstrates this principle, this point that I'm trying to make with you this morning. Now, back in the Roman Empire, there was something that was done in every town, in every city, in every village that was accepted by everybody. And it was this thing called exposure. It was when you didn't want your baby, you would leave the baby outside in the weather to die, okay? If you didn't want to have a girl, you'd rather have a boy, you'd expose your baby. If you thought that your wife got pregnant by another man, you'd take your baby and you'd expose your baby. If you thought that your baby had a birth defect, you would take your baby and expose your baby. And this was something that was just done. It was something that people were okay with. This is just what you do. Everybody accepted it as normal. But not the Christians. The Christians disagreed. From the very beginning, they disagreed. And the Christians condemned the practice of exposure. And they eventually went to the edges of the forests. They went to the banks of the river. They went to the outskirts of the towns and took these babies in and took them back to their small homes to feed them the small amount of food that they had, and they raised them as their own. Now, why did they do this? Because the scripture said to do it? No. Scriptures didn't say to do it. Love said to do it. Love compelled them to do it. It was love. And as they began to understand what it meant to be made in the image of God, as they began to understand what it meant to live out the law of Christ, we are to love others as we have been loved, they understood that God did that for them spiritually. They had been left for dead. But God raised them up. He adopted them into his family, and he made them citizens in his kingdom because of his grace and mercy and love for us and for them. Eventually, the conscience of the Christians became the conscience of the kingdom, and exposure was considered a crime. Jesus' single command to love others as I have loved you was so powerful. It was so powerful that it sits at the center of God's kingdom values. And that kind of ethic, that kind of morality is what can influence and can change the conscience, not just of the Christian community, but can change the conscience of the world. That's why in the church it's so important to understand this, because part of our responsibility is to be salt and light. And if we're salt and light in the world, we can influence the conscience of a nation. We can shape the conscience of a nation. It's also why we can't be jerks and be divided, especially over political issues, especially over candidates as they come and go, political parties and platforms as they come and go that are always changing, right? So the question you might be asking is, Pastor Dave, how do we live this out? How do we love like Christ loved us? How do we apply the law of Christ as kingdom citizens in our lives, even though we disagree with other people politically? Well, first, thou shalt not be a jerk by listening. That's our first point. Thou shalt not be a jerk by listening. Begin to listen, and specifically listen to people that experience the world very differently than you do. That experience the world very differently than you do. Listen to the haves and the have-nots. Listen to the Christians and the not-Christians. Listen to the gay and to the straight. Listen to the young and to the old. Listen to the black and to the white. Listen to the married and the single. New citizens, old citizens, people that have been in the military, people that hate the military. Begin to listen to people who have experienced the world differently than the way you have. James 1, 19 to 20 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Jim Daly from Focus on the Family said, "Christians should always ask two questions and keep two questions in mind as they engage people around them. First, would you help me understand what you believe? Second, how did you come to that conclusion?" Okay, first, would you help me understand what you believe? And second, how did you come to that conclusion? I would add a third piece of that, to say, let me understand if I heard you correctly, and then summarize back to them what you heard. It's a good way for them to know that you've really been listening. When you're in a conversation about a political view or perspective that you think is so important, you know, this type of thing isn't easy to do, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy to take the time to listen, especially when somebody's opinions are very different than your own. You can start to get upset. You can start to get frustrated. You can start to want to get defensive and to defend the reason that you believe the way you believe. Loving others requires us to be good listeners. People who met Pope John Paul II in his lifetime, they were amazed at how engaged he was when he was listening to somebody. It seemed that nothing else existed but he and that person. Have you, in your life, met people who were really good listeners, where you think the only person in the world is you at that moment? I'm sure a lot of you can remember those people, because it's typically very few people that listen very well. In any conversation, political or otherwise, each of us can choose to give the gift of listening to others. So thou shalt not be a jerk by listening, thou shalt not be a jerk by learning. Once you start listening, learn something. No matter how crazy you think the other position is, how wrong the other person's position is, try to learn something. Remember, our value and worth is not tied to what we believe about politics. It's tied to a person. It's tied to Jesus. So an opposing opinion should not frighten you. New information should not threaten you in any way. Be curious. The Apostle Paul paid attention. He became all things to all men. How do you become all things to all men? You have to learn about them. You have to learn about what they believe. You have to learn about their customs. You have to learn about their culture. He became all things to all men by learning. He became a student. He understood them, but he didn't agree with everything. I tell myself all the time, Dave, pay attention. Don't turn away. Don't delete the message you got on Facebook Messenger from that friend. Read it. Learn something new. Don't turn off that video because it takes a different position than what you believe. Be a student, not just a critic. It's easy to criticize, isn't it? It hardly takes any effort at all. It's hard to listen, especially to those who believe very differently. So be a student, not a critic. Listen, if you're a Democrat today, the Republicans are not crazy. If you're a Republican today, the Democrats are not crazy, okay? Nobody's crazy. They just see the world differently than you. So let me ask you this. How did you come to believe the way you believe today? Did it just happen by magic? Were you just born with your political position, or view? No, your views are a result of your cultural context, okay? Your views are a result of where you sit. And so now you take a stand. And the fact is, we all have grown up in certain homes with parents that had certain values. We all have certain types of friends that have certain types of views, right? We all live in a certain type of neighborhood with certain types of people. We all are in a different socioeconomic level with people that we're connected to through that. That's your cultural context. It affects how you see the world. It determines what you see, what you experience, and how you interpret what you experience. And it's true for all of us. When I was younger, my wife and I, we had just had our first baby, and we went to this life group with other couples that were in the similar life stage to us. And there was a guy in that life group, Kurt Paulson, who had very different views than me politically. But by God's grace, I took the time to learn from Kurt, and my thinking began to change a little. What I believed began to change a little. Your political views are not shaped in a vacuum. And stepping back and recognizing that is going to help you learn to learn and to be civil rather than defensive and divisive when you hear a position that is very different than your own. And boy, do we need more people, don't we, that are civil, that are calm, that are going to engage over issues, political and otherwise, in a way that is respectful, where people are listening and people are learning, where questions are being asked and there's genuine interest and seeking to understand. Andy Stanley says, as long as you catch yourself saying, I don't know how that person could believe what they believe, you're actually saying something about you, not them. Learn. Learn what it is that they believe, and then you'll understand. Why wouldn't we do this as the body of Christ? Take time to understand, because everybody's behavior makes perfect sense to them, doesn't it? Everybody's viewpoint makes perfect sense to them. Everybody's response makes perfect sense to them. Everybody's politics makes perfect sense to them. So what if, especially over these next 2 weeks, we were able to step back and begin to see things just a little bit differently? Not change what you believe or who you vote for, but just see things a little bit differently. Again, because where you sit determines where you stand, okay? And recognizing this allows us to open our minds and hearts without changing necessarily our political viewpoint. But beware, your thinking might start changing. Beware, your beliefs might start changing, but that's not the goal. Thou shalt not be a jerk by listening, thou shalt not be a jerk by learning, and thirdly, thou shalt not be a jerk by loving. By loving, it's the L word. Listen, never burn a relational bridge because of your political views. Never burn a relational bridge because of your political views. I remember when my kids were young and they would damage or break things around the house, my wife would always remind me, the child is more important, Dave, than whatever they damaged or destroyed. And it's the same with political issues. Never burn a relational bridge over a political view because it all goes back to Jesus' commandment. Jesus loves the person next to you. Jesus loves the next door neighbor. He loves that family member, that coworker, okay? He loves that life group member. Jesus loved that person so much that he died for them. And this is central to our faith. People are more important than our political view. People are more important to God than their political view. You know, your view, your political view might have changed 10 years ago, and it might change again in another 5. People are more important than politics. People over politics. The person sitting beside you, the person sitting across the room today, the person that is watching online today across the county are more important than your political view. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. How can you destroy a relationship with somebody that Christ died for? Christ died for us. He loved us. So let's stop being a jerk with those that disagree with us. Let's love others as Christ loved us. Let's listen, let's learn, let's love those that we might have strained relationships with or are estranged from, so that those relationships would be restored. Let's listen, learn, and love so that we can show a watching world what it means to follow Jesus, and we can see more people follow him and enter into his kingdom. Let's listen, learn, and love so that as we live out the law of Christ, we would influence the conscience of a divided nation and see things change. You know, we name our kids Peter, Paul, and Mary, and call our dogs Nero and Caesar. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Empires rise up and empires fall. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot stand against it. God's kingdom, my friends, is forever. Let's love others as he has loved us. Let's stand together as we pray this morning. Lord, we know that this is difficult. We think about doing this and we think, how is this going to work? But God, we know that you are the one that can enable us to love others like you have loved us. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But you put your spirit inside of us. You put your spirit inside of us so that we could live like you are calling us to live. And in a divided and divisive world today, I pray that as we live out the law of Christ, as we love others as you have loved us, that we would be able to change not just our community of faith, but change the world. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are a good, gracious, loving King that reigns from eternity to eternity. And thank you that you have called us into your kingdom, that we can say we are kingdom citizens by your grace and by your love. So it's with that that we pray this morning in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.